Joseph, name the five states that have the highest unemployment rate right
okay,
now.
Okay, we've got Michigan at 15.2%, Nevada at 13%, Rhode Island 12.9%, California 12.5%, and South Carolina 12.1%, George.
Michigan because of the auto industry, no
yes.
doubt, right? What
yes.
about Nevada, because of the casinos?
Yes.
Yeah, they're down. That's true. Good point. And their housing is all slump, isn't it?
Well, it was very overbuilt, George.
Yeah. Rhode Island. Why Rhode Island?
Well, I think they've had their problems there. A lot of industry has left Rhode Island. And I think they have a lot of skilled workers at this point that are unable to find meaningful employment.
California?
Well, California, as you know, we had the bust with housing. Had 20% of all the new jobs that had been created prior to the housing bust are jobs now that are gone. And we continue to see weakness with housing. And again, as far as prices have fallen in California, they're headed lower.
South Carolina, textile
well,
industry?
A lot of textiles yeah. there. And again, these industries have moved offshore.
What are some of the states with the lowest unemployment rate?
Well, I think you'll find that interesting. We have North Dakota at 4.2%, Nebraska 4.9%, South Dakota 5%, Montana 6.4%, Vermont 6.5%.
Most of them Midwest, the
yes.
mountain states.
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. What are they doing?
They're doing something right.
Yeah, they are. We need to go there as a nation and find out what the models are. What's happening? That is something. Bankruptcy filings, 2010, worst states.
Well, bankruptcy filings in 2010, we have the five worst states. Hawaii was up 28%.
Wow.
California was up 25%. Utah up 24%. Arizona up 23%. And Colorado up 17%.
And they've tightened up the bankruptcy rules
yes,
anyway.
They have. Well, you know, they changed the laws about a year prior to the topping out of the market.
They saw it coming.
They saw it coming. They certainly did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, an interesting statement, and I think you're going to get a kick out of this as we talk briefly again about housing. So John Templeton, as you know, was the founder of Templeton Mutual Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through the Great Depression, and apparently he learned many great lessons from it. And I remember a year before he died, he gave an interview, and this was well after housing had peaked and it had started down. And he made the statement, and I never forgot it, that we will not see a long-term bottom in housing until the price of a home only sells for 10% of the previous highest price in the last cycle. And basically what that would come down to, George, is if you had a house, say, in 2000, that was $100,000.
Okay.
And eventually, 5 years later, it reached $200,000. John Templeton truly believed that the bottom of the price of that house would be $20,000.
Wow.
I don't agree with that, but that was John Templeton's belief.
That's like giving them away.
Yes.
Let's buy 10.
We could get the financing.
If you could get the financing and if it plummeted that, I think people who could afford it should buy up as much as they can and rent them.
Well, I think renting is going to be the wave of the future. I think an awful lot of people with what we're seeing with the job market and what we're seeing now with the tightening of lending standards are really going to be renting for the majority of their lifetime, George.
We've got a gold client. He's been telling us to buy gold for a long, long time, and he's been on the button so far. But what about the future?
Oh, I think the bull market in the precious metals is just getting started. I think we have a long way to go. I think very few people understand the significance of this commodity bull. You know, this is only the sixth time in 200 years that we've had a commodity bull of this magnitude. And I'll name quickly for your listeners the five prior super cycle commodity bulls that we had. We had, going back, the War of 1812 was the first one. The Civil War was the second. World War One was the third. World War Two in Korea was the fourth. The Cold War was the fifth. And now this is the sixth, called the War on Terror. Typically, commodity bulls, George, can last anywhere 18 to 20 years. And I deem this commodity bull having started in 2001. So I'm looking for, at a minimum, another decade of rising precious metal prices.
Well, that's a pretty good run then for them. Pretty good run indeed. Oil, it's going to go over $100 a barrel, isn't it?
Well, oil, I think, again, is
maybe a gallon.
Well, you know, we're starting to see significantly higher gasoline prices already here in Florida. And I think at some point we're going to get over $4 a gallon very, very quickly. But I think when we talk about oil, I'm looking for oil to trade at over $100 a barrel very shortly. And I'm of the belief we're going to see oil reach $200 a barrel in 2012 and then on to $300 a barrel in 2013.
Jeez.
But I'll also tell you that I think the next time we see oil over $100 a barrel, it will be the equivalent of when we saw gold get above $1,000. We're never going to see these levels again in our lifetime, George.
We'll be looking back saying, I wish it cost that, won't we?
Sure, we sure will. I think people lose sight of just how much oil China and India are currently using, and China is now using three times the oil it consumed in 2000. China is currently using about 10 million barrels a day.
That's going to increase even more, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and India too.
Well, I think people also lose sight of the fact that India is now in the same position that China was 10 years ago. So if we're looking at another 10 years of the commodity bull, China is going to continue to have insatiable demands for energy, and India is right behind them.
Do you see wars on the horizon, Joseph?
Well, I think when you talk about energy, people lose sight of the fact that we're past peak oil, George, and the major producing fields topped out their production in late 2005, early 2006. And the largest oil fields in Saudi Arabia were discovered in 1936. Those oil fields are 75 years old, and they're well past peak production. And when you talk about the major oil-producing countries, you have Saudi Arabia number one, you have Iraq number two, and Iran number three. So when you talk about a disruption of oil prices, if something were to happen and Iran was to cut off oil shipments, it's certainly going to bring some problems, and we could very well see gasoline lines again in America.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, I have been, Joseph, I got to tell you, an abiotic oil theorist myself. I believe the planet had it when it was formed.
Sure.
But I do believe they pump it as much as they want or when they want or as less as they want. So we'll see what happens. But any disruption, obviously, is going to create a problem.
Well, you know, oil, if you go back in 1980, 34 barrels of oil, George, was equal to 1 ounce of gold. Currently, it takes just 15 barrels of oil to equal 1 ounce of gold. So I think that in itself is telling you how valuable oil is becoming.